This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I tell you what, the backlash against the Democrats and their behavior last night, unreal. I would compare them to children, but I have three children. They would never, ever act that way. Unbelievable. I mean, refusing to clap for a kid with cancer. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's Ash Wednesday and the start of the Lenten season. Let me know what you're giving up. And the question is, do you have to still give it up on Sundays? This is a little debate we were having on X before. A couple people going back and forth on this question. Now, I can tell you, as growing up in an Italian Catholic household, I was always told Sundays were your day of exemption from whatever you give up. Although I also had a priest when I was very young tell me, I could make a joke here, but I'm not going to. I had a priest when I was very young tell me, you should really try to give up something that you don't want to bring back into your life when Lent is over. Like, in other words, something you give up that will make you better and you don't go back to it in 40 days. It's like, instead of just giving up bread or alcohol or something like that, unless you plan to give it up for good, give up negativity or selfishness or compulsive gambling, cocaine and hookers, things like that. So, let me know. Shoot me a tweet on X. Let me know what you've given up. Or comment away in the YouTube chat because we're YouTube chatting, as we always do on the show. So the lesser Al Green last night, this guy, Dastardly Deeds, done dirt cheap with his cane. And the thing about it is, you know, normally I would say maybe you don't give these people attention, but we're going to give them attention because they deserve the attention. I saw an interview on Fox News earlier today with this gentleman who said he's done. He's done being a Democrat. Black auto worker from Michigan. Excuse me. He said, I'm done. I'm done with these people. They don't support working class people. They're clowns, and I'm done. And last night was disgraceful. So, I give the president an A+ on that speech last night. And you know that I'm objective when it comes to the president. I always have been. I didn't particularly love his last debate performance. Some people got angry at me about that, but that's okay. I mean, I call it like I see it. I always have. And I thought he hit it out of the park last night. I thought the speech was optimistic. We're past the point of trying to unify. We can't unify. We can try to unify the country, but we can't unify the Democrat Party. And when the president stood up last night and said, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, I could cure cancer, I could cure the worst disease known to man, I think he was kind of giving a reference to the fact of Operation Warp Speed and COVID. But you people will never clap for me. You'll never stand for me. You'll never agree with me. There's literally nothing I can do. And that was, and then he went on to prove them right throughout the entire course of the speech. Shameful, immature, petty, juvenile, every word you can think to say about the Democrats last night and their behavior. And then some of the reaction in the media today, absolutely disgusting, with Nicole Wallace leading the way, in a clip I'm sure you probably heard in some of the other shows today, with her saying to that little boy who wants to be a cop, this little boy who's fighting brain cancer, I hope he wouldn't be around on January 6th because he might kill himself like the other six cops. I mean, just horrific stuff. So we'll get into all that today. Big ruling by the Supreme Court, a shameful, disgraceful ruling by the Supreme Court. And Amy Coney Barrett, what an absolute disappointment. And I think Justice Alito in his dissent, joined by Justices Gorsuch and Thomas He nailed it when he said, I can't believe this. This is disgraceful to allow a federal district court judge to be able to come along here and force the United States of America to spend $2 billion that we'll never get back. It's ridiculous. It really is. And he was spot on with his dissent today. Spot on. So we'll talk about the Kavanaugh, too. So it's Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, Alito, and Clarence Thomas, the four of them. 5-4 decision. John Roberts, of course, no surprise there, siding with the left. But Amy Coney Barrett, the big disappointment, really, truly. And this is not the first time she's disappointed us, you know. She disappointed us with that free speech case as well. So I'll get into all the details with you on that as well. And then today on Capitol Hill, a big hearing on sanctuary cities. And since we are, to quote our late fat former mayor, Jim Kenney, a sanctuary city, yeah, this has relevance to Philadelphia as well. Although the Philadelphia mayor was not there. Philadelphia has not really been in the news about being a sanctuary city in quite some time. But the Denver mayor, the Boston mayor, and the mayor of Chicago, and defending their policies, just outrageous. Byron Donald sitting out of the park going after Representative Anna Paulina Luna, saying that she's going to recommend charges against them for breaking federal law. Like I've said to you before, you know, the states and the local units don't have to cooperate with the feds unless they have a signed agreement or something like that. But under our system of federalism, obviously the state government doesn't have to enforce federal law and the federal government doesn't have to enforce state law. And that's a good thing. And we like it that way. However, that's different from aiding and abetting a fugitive. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about criminals who are in their jails and then the feds want them. And they have a legal right, a legal lawful claim to that criminal. And not only does the local unit, the city of Chicago or New York, Eric Adams was there today, too. Not only does the city not cooperate, which they don't have to necessarily cooperate, but they aid and abet the getaway for this person by letting them out and giving them safe harbor from the and you can't do that. You can't do that. If you had a fugitive in your house and the cops came to the door and said, hey, is that person in your house? And you lied and you hid them, you'd be aiding and abetting a fugitive. So that's what we're seeing with these sanctuary cities. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about sanctuary cities that are harboring criminals. This is not about protecting the abuelas. And you know, the nanny who's doing nothing but not bothering anybody. These are criminals who are rapists and murderers and carjackers. And some of them have rap sheets longer than my show sheet today, which is very long, by the way. I've got a lot of audio clips for you. It's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days where we're going to have a lot of audio clips. By the way, I want to mention something real quick. You know, we have our podcast of the show, which you can get anytime and you can listen on your own terms. And sometimes people rate the podcast. I'd like you to do that if you get a chance. This is a favor I'm asking you to do, because a couple of people wrote nasty things. And the thing about it is that they wrote nasty things. It's not even up to me. Like one person took a shot at me for Levin not being on our station, as if I'm in charge. I'm not in charge. I'm just a host like everybody else here. So. And somebody else took a shot saying I play a lot of curated audio. Well, some days we do. Yeah, some days we do actually play a lot of audio. Today's one of those days because we got a lot of clips from the president, from this immigration hearing on Capitol Hill, Caroline Leavitt, White House press briefing today. So we're going to get into all that. And, of course, the analysis from me, which you have come to expect and I hope love and appreciate. And if not, well, then you just deal with it, I guess. I don't know what else to say. But let's begin with a quick analysis of the president's speech last night. So what I love about President Trump is he's a showman and his ability to bring ordinary Americans into the speech, which is something that has been going on for a long time with these congressional addresses, the State of the Union, et cetera. Really, really powerful stuff. But I tell you what, I was watching the speech last night next to my wife, who's not a political person. And I didn't really want to watch it last night because I knew I'd have to watch it and talk about it all day today. So a lot of times I'm good with just not watching it live and I'll, you know, watch it later. But she wanted to watch it. And when the when the president introduced that young man, that 13-year-old kid with cancer, and named him an honorary Secret Service officer, she lost it, bawling her eyes out. And like I said, she's not a particularly political person, but that moment last night was so touching. It was so touching. And then you look over at the Democrats and they won't even stand for this kid. They won't. And then some of them rolled their eyes, too. And they wouldn't clap. They would clap for Ukraine, though. And America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, clapping for Ukraine. And the president calling her Pocahontas in the middle of the joint. I know, not very presidential, but funny. Nonetheless, quite funny. So I have no problems with it. Look, Trump is Trump. He's always going to be himself. And he's always, and that's why people love him. I mean, not many people would think it's of the decorum of the room to refer to our nation's mother-in-law as Pocahontas. But that's just Trump. That's what people like about the guy. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. You mean you won all the swing states. You won the popular vote. You won the electoral college vote. Doing something right. That's for sure. And talking about the price of eggs last night was also key. Talking about the peace with Ukraine, talking about how we are going and securing the border, and then bringing up the various family members who've been affected by lots of violence and illegal immigration, and Corey Compatori's family, and the young woman who was bullied, and of course the female athlete. So many great moments last night during the speech. But I just thought it was a very optimistic, pro-America, feel-good speech. Like, America's back, baby, and we're going to make some stuff happen. That's how I felt. I felt very optimistic, and I like that about him. And that's the thing. I like his optimism. And I've always known him to be capable of communicating great optimism. And for me personally, I like when he does that better than anything else. Because I think he's got a unique gift to convey that optimism about America and to make people feel good about it. And that's a big part of the job. Is to motivate people. And I thought Joe Biden was one of the most divisive, and his speeches were angry and nasty. And he was just, you know, and the Democrats were angry and nasty last night. Trump came across very positive, very forward looking, very optimistic. And I loved it. I really did. I loved it. And that's what, you know, in the debate with Kamala Harris, when I was I didn't give it an A, if you remember, I was pretty tough on that debate. In terms of his performance. And some people get mad at me for that, but that's okay. That's how you always know I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to mess around. I always tell you how I feel about things, and sometimes you'll agree and sometimes you won't, but you'll always know I'm honest. Because there's other talk show hosts out there that'll give Trump an A on everything he does. And I'm not one of those people, and I don't believe it's healthy to him to do that. I've never believed in being a yes man. So when I give him an A+, you know it's genuine. You know it's the real deal. Because if you remember the 2016 campaign, and now analyzing his debates, analyzing his speeches, I love some, others I didn't love as much. But last night I thought was he just hit it out of the park. It's the tone, the great tone. It was uplifting, and it was just really just like we love America. So to hear James Carville come out today and to accuse, by the way, to accuse the president of not loving America. In fact, James Carville came out and said he thinks Trump hates America and is secretly trying to destroy it. I mean, these people are amazing. But Al Green with his cane last night, waving that cane and getting tossed out. And I tweeted, and I'm going to say earmuffs right now. So please, and I know it's Lent, and I just went to church, and it's Ash Wednesday. Saw some nice listeners there at Mass, as a matter of fact, who came up and said hello. That was very nice and touching. Crutched my way in, you know, hobbled my way in. Church, you know, the cast and everything. But I'm just going to use earmuffs. I'm going to say this. I tweeted out last night. I said, boot is Kane waving ass out of here. All right. So that was your earmuff warning. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did, because that guy's a clown. This is also the guy, don't forget, who wants to impeach Donald Trump for dastardly deeds done. Dastardly deeds done. And yes, we'll resurface that audio gem for you throughout the course of the show today. I also love the fact that the president was saying to the American people, you got to give me a little bit of time here, and asking the American people to be patient with him as he deals with tariffs and China and all the other things. And I think that was a message he had to convey without question. But when he said last night to the Democrats, there's nothing I can say, nothing I can do that will ever make you people happy. And it occurred to me last night that bipartisanship in this country is dead. And it's not dead because of the Republicans. It's dead because of Democrats. They killed it. They have no interest in working with this man. And this is why they will remain the party of freaks and lunatics for years to come. Years to come. There is no way the Democrat Party can recover going down this road. There was even a moment last night where, I don't know if you caught this or not, there was a Democrat who, when the president was talking about peace with Ukraine, starts to clap And then looks around at the other Democrats and is like, oh, I can't clap. Don't clap for this. No. And stops clapping over peace with Ukraine. And I just said, this is a freak show party. And that woman with the purple hair, I put this out on Twitter last night, that angry looking woman with the purple hair. I got an audio clip of her today going on about how horrible Trump is. This is a party of freaks. It's a freak show party. I don't know. Maybe it won't be in 4 years. I just don't see how they can transition. And speaking of transitions, yes, we did pay for transgender lab rat experiments. Yes, we did. And today, the Department of Government Efficiency and the NIH announced that they are cutting all this crap off. And our friends over at the White Coat Waste Project, a great organization that I got to know during COVID. See, during COVID, you know, there was this theory that COVID-19 came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. And some guy bought it his lunch break at the little wet market there. And I said, no, this thing came from a lab. And it turns out I was right. But as early as March of 2020, I was having these guys from the White Coat Waste Project on. They were talking about all the experiments they were doing on bats. Well, fast forward to 2025 and 2024, too. Justin Goodman, our buddy over there, breaking it all down for us. All of Fauci's barbaric experiments on puppies and beagles and, yes, mice. Transgender lab rats. Or transgender lab mice. I mean, depending on whether it's a rat or a mouse, but they're doing experiments on both of these things, and to the tune of about $9 million of our taxpayer dollars. It's just nuts. It's insane stuff. I was glad last night the president came out and said there are only two genders, and I'm glad he came out and said that we're not going to allow these barbaric transgender mutilations of our children anymore. We're not going to allow it. I'm glad the president said that. And there's a new study out that shows a correlation between these so-called gender-affirming procedures, which are not gender-affirming. It's their barbaric mutilations or their drugging of our children in an attempt to try to stop puberty, which is directly interfering with science. These drugs are not even approved to stop. They're not approved for the purpose they're being used. But the president came out and said last night, we're not going to allow this anymore. And good, because the studies that show kids who go down this road have major mental health consequences later in life. Of course, I mean, you're chopping off body parts here. And if they change their mind down the road, you can't get those body parts back. So it's a barbaric practice that has to stop. But the Democrats are going to keep fighting for that. That's what I mean about them being the freak show party. It's a party of freaks. And we didn't get here overnight. This is the party that for years was screaming about DEI and screaming about transgender surgeries. And I remember this time many years ago. We were even in our old studio, I think, at 400 Market Street at the time. And I said, look, you know, this whole transgender thing with kids, this is mental illness. And we got to deal with it from that perspective. And somebody gave me a lecture about how, you know, you really can't say that. Blah, 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 blah. No, it is. It is. It's kids dealing with a mental health crisis. And it needs to be addressed properly. And you don't address a mental health crisis by mutilating their bodies. So I was glad the president was not afraid to go down that road either last night. But there were a lot of very Reagan-esque moments in the speech, just very pro-America, feel good about America. But the difference is, though, is that when President Reagan was president, Democrats would clap for things. They would stand for things. I know I'm going to get in trouble with my buddy Johnny Cook when I say this, but there are a lot of historians who believe that Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House back then, and Reagan would share a scotch together at the end of the day, and they would try to work on things. There was a time of bipartisanship in this country, so much so that when there was a Republican who yelled out at Obama, "You lie," it turned into a 2-week talk radio debate about whether or not that was appropriate for that Republican member of Congress to say. You saw last night a crazy man waving his cane at the president of the United States of America and screaming, the lesser Al Green. Screaming, waving his cane, his like snakehead cane at the president. You saw Democrats sitting on their hands when the president was bringing up a woman who was bullied, a young man with brain cancer who wants to be a cop. I mean, just shameful antics. And who are they trying to please is my question. Who's your target audience for this? The 17 whack jobs left in America who are voting for you? Is that your audience? I mean, are you expecting today that all 17 of them are going to give you high five for acting like a bunch of morons, childish, immature, angry, bitter, just anti-American fools? Do you think that those 17 people are going to give you high fives? Is that your target audience? Because whenever I think about these things, I always look at it from the perspective of the communications professional that I am. And I always say, who's your audience? So really, who's the audience of Democrats? Who are they appealing to when they act like clowns like that? The purple-haired lunatic in the back of the room, who I posted a picture of on Twitter last night. Bernie Sanders, who is Nancy Pelosi sitting there moving her teeth around as if her fangs needed fresh, virgin, intern blood. I mean, who's your audience? Is it working class people in this country? Is it people that I think what it's come down to is Democrats have fallen prey to what is known as confirmation bias. You know what confirmation bias is, right? Confirmation bias is when you sit around in a circle and you just keep hearing what you want to hear over and over and over again. So they have pretty much locked the door on everybody who says anything other than Trump is a fascist and he's Hitler and everything else. And so that's their confirmation bias. And that's all they keep saying in their little circle. And then they have fallen victim to that. And so where does a moderate, if there are any left, Democrat, how do you break into that group of nutbags? First of all, why would you want to? Why wouldn't you want to pull a Tulsi Gabbard and get the hell out of there? You know, I mean, Tulsi Gabbard is director of national intelligence, who is a Democrat, who said, I can't be part of this anymore. These people are nuts. I want nothing to do with this. And she left. And now she's in the president's cabinet as director of national intelligence. Bobby Kennedy, too. I mean, he was a Democrat. He said, I want nothing to do with these people. They're freaking nuts. So I just don't know why. At this point, anybody who thinks of themselves as a moderate Democrat, I don't know how anybody can be part of this organization, be part of this group. And I think that they are really on the cusp of going the way of the Whigs in terms of their national relevance. There may always be a Democrat party because, sadly, in our two-party system, they're very entrenched on the local level. So you've got a lot of Democrat mayors and council members and all these other people. But so there'll always be a political party. But in terms of winning a national election, I mean, good luck. Good luck selling crazy. You know, sell crazy elsewhere because we're not buying it. And some people might think, don't give them any attention. I say the opposite. I say give that all the oxygen in the world. Highlight and promote these lunatics. Show America who they are. In case somebody doesn't know, in case somebody didn't watch the president's address last night, show them exactly how crazy these Democrats are. And if somebody doesn't like Trump, play the part of the speech last night where he talked about how America, with our American spirit, defeated fascism and communism and Marxism. And the enduring American spirit when he ended his speech on that very soaring note of optimism, which I just absolutely loved, about how America can always do the impossible. And it can. And then you sit over there, you look over across the aisle and you see a bunch of sourpusses with their anger. And then the pink ladies, and then they all run out of there the minute the speech ends so they can start their little tweets about what a fascist he is. And it's just comical. We're at a very comical time in this country. But hey, good for us, because they'll never be able to win. I mean, you think they're going to be able to fix this in 4 years? You really honestly think they can turn this around? I don't care who they think they can run, because that person will never be able to break through. Even if you get a centrist Democrat, let's just use, for the sake of argument, I don't want to debate whether or not he really is or not. That's not the point of this topic. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, wants to run as a centrist moderate candidate. How does he break through to the crazies? How does he cut through that? They're nuts. They're freaking nuts. They need a gigantic intervention, but I don't think they'd listen. I really don't. I think they're so high on their anti-Trump derangement. I don't think they would listen to anybody who says to them, you people are free. That's why I mean, Harold Ford, bless his heart, last night on Fox News after the speech ends. And he's like, you know, my party really has to be the party of ideas. Hey, man, you could never get elected in that party today with that kind of thinking, because that party wants to do one thing, and that is obstruct, period. That's all they want to do is obstruct. So good luck with that. All right, that's the big story of the hour, obviously brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnamon and Woodbury. Got a lot of audio, got a lot of reaction. Weigh in on X at Rich Zeoli, our YouTube chat, 855-839-1210. Congressman Dan Muser is going to join us later today to give us his thoughts. And Congressman Scott Perry was on fire today going after these sanctuary city mayors. So we got a lot to chat about. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show.
All right, so, a little cough, but don't worry, I'm not sick. I'm just, excuse me. Try to hit the cough button next time. All right, so let's begin with some audio clips, shall we? We have a lot to get to today. It's going to be a busy show. I really liked this moment last night during the president's speech when he said the Democrats, you know, like, why not tonight? It's like one, like it was one night. Why not just join me, huh? Why not just join me tonight and just you know, just for one night, join us and celebrating America, right? Like one, give me one night. It's not that complicated. It's not that much to ask. Let's play this clip, cut number 7.
This is my fifth such speech to Congress. And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. Five times I've been up here. It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way. So, Democrats sitting before me, for just this one night, why not join us in celebrating so many incredible wins for America? For the good of our nation, let's work together and let's truly make America great again.
Now, let's just yell at you and wave a cane at you, Mr. President. Let's just scream and yell and sit in our hands and just and scowl and be angry. Let's just do that instead. That seems more fun, doesn't it? Yeah, let's do that. Let's see. We'll become a majority party in America by doing that. And then, so last night, I'm sitting there. Let me tell you this story, right? So I'm watching the speech. And we're on the couch watching the speech. And I see this whack job member of Congress with purple hair. And she's got this scowl on her face. And I paused the TV and I jumped off. I mean, I can't really jump off the couch with my cast, but you know what I mean? Like I jumped onto the futon thingy, whatever it is, the thing you put, you know, and I took a quick screenshot and I tweeted it out. Well, today that nutbag, Representative Rosa DeLauro, you got to, first of all, if you're watching on YouTube, just look at how crazy this woman looks. Like if there is a single way to describe Democrats in one person, in the human walking embodiment of it, it's Representative Rosa DeLauro. Everything about her, angry, purple hair, old as hell. Because, I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that whatever happened to the party of youth and vigor? You got Bernie Sanders sitting there, moving around his dentures. Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, just waiting for a young intern to come by. And then you got Representative Rosa DeLauro. And then she, at no point, clapped last night. Scowl on her face the entire time. And then she says the president's speech was vengeful instead of uplifting. This is cut number 40.
I was really stunned that the election was fought over the cost of living and people, families who live paycheck to paycheck, concerned about it, whether or not they were going to be able to pay their bills, be able to pay for the health care, in some cases even putting food on the table.
Just pause it right there for me, if you would, Kirk. Thank you. Look, and by the way, happy birthday to our buddy Sean Serino of the show, who occasionally fills in and does a great job. It's his birthday today, so I just want to give a big happy birthday to Sean, a good man right there. Oh, and happy anniversary to my mom and dad, my Papa Zioli and Mama Zioli. It's their anniversary today, so happy anniversary to them. If they're, I don't even know if my mother listens to the show anymore, but, you know, anyway, happy anniversary to them. They've been married for 53 years. And have not killed each other. It's really remarkable, if you ask me. Anyway, look at this whack job. Look at her. I don't even know what that is. Is that like a fur coat? I don't think it's a fur coat, because they would never wear fur. Some sort of weird, some kind of a schmuck, like a painting. What do you think that is? Oh, she's only 82 years old, Justin DeLauro. Oh, then she's one of the younger members of Congress. I think she represents the young Democrats, if I'm not mistaken. Just keep her on the screen right there for a moment. Just everybody take a look at this. You got the purple hair. You got some sort of a smock on. She's 82 years old. She's angry, bitter. This and that purple freaking do. I don't know where she went and got that dye job. I don't know. But this is what I mean about these people. Look at that. It's like if there's one embodiment of the Democrat Party, it's that. Angry with a freaking purple-haired dye job. Vampiric. They're all vampires. Blood-sucking vampires. Sucking the taxpayers dry. I'm telling you, this is a party in trouble. Like if you're a Democrat listening to me right now and you consider yourself to be a common-sense person, you need to get the hell out of this party for your own good. You need to run. Take my advice on this. Run. You can't fix this. This is a crazy you can't fix. Look at this. I'm keeping the picture up on the YouTube chat right now. No, I don't think that's blue hair, Thompson. That is purple. That is some sort of purple. Justin, what color? What do you think? What color is that hair? And what the hell is she wearing? What is that? Do you know?
I'd say it looks purple. It looks like a royal purple. But as for what she's wearing, it looks like something you'd see on like a first grade. You know those like art teachers that try and dress like avant-garde. That's what like she's trying her best to be like a first grade art teacher in the outfit choice and the hair choice.
Road Warrior said that's really John Kerry. That's pretty funny. Well done. I may have to use that. That's very good. So you're going with like a purplish blue azure sort of a crimson kind of, not crimson, that'd be red, like something in that color category.
Yeah, that's at least from what I see from the YouTube and when I was getting the clip of it. I'd say it's in that family of colors.
Yeah. Let's keep going with her riveting, soaring rhetoric criticizing the president's speech last night. Go ahead.
The address tonight didn't address any of those issues about cost of living and the fact that people live paycheck to paycheck. And what we ought to be doing in the Congress is to make sure that we are helping people to secure an economic future for themselves and their families. I found the speech to be vengeful, revengeful. And instead of being lifting the hopes and the aspirations of people of the United States, of how we move forward as the great nation that we are, what the vision for our future was.
Okay, all right, that's enough of that lunatic. All right, so you want to talk about the economy then, crazy lady? Fine, let's talk about the economy. Here's the president last night. Let's cue up cut number 8. Highest priority, what the president wants to do. Remember, he's been president for not even 2 months yet. It's been really a month and a half. January 20th, it's March 5th. So highest priority, what he wants to do for this country, and it's the economy. But there was a lot of damage done, and there was. And I know it may not be considered decorum to bring up the mistakes of the past administration, but the heck with that. Biden's administration deserves all the blame. Lay it out there. Let everybody know it. Let everybody see it. Because the American people have short memories, unfortunately. We're busy. We're busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got a lot going on in their lives. So sometimes you got to constantly remind them. So remind them. Remind them the damage the last guy did. And remind them how you just got on the job and you're trying to fix it. But it's going to take some time. Cut number 8.
Among my very highest priorities is to rescue our economy and get dramatic and immediate relief to working families. As you know, we inherited from the last administration an economic catastrophe and an inflation nightmare. Their policies drove up energy prices, pushed up grocery costs, and drove the necessities of life out of reach for millions and millions of Americans. They've never had anything like it. We suffered the worst inflation in 48 years, but perhaps even in the history of our country. They're not sure. As president, I'm fighting every day to reverse this damage and make America affordable again.
Yeah, good. Good. That's exactly what has to happen. Make America affordable again and do it. And one of the ways we're going to do that is to unleash energy. Remember I told you yesterday, I think that the president is thinking about the next 100-150 years for America in terms of our energy, not just simple independence, but energy dominance. And I think, here's my analysis, because Caroline Leavitt today, it reiterated that we'd love for Canada to become the 51st state. And I don't think they're joking around here. Here's what I think. The president has put some very smart people, including Doug Burgum, on this Energy Council. And I think Doug Burgum and the others have said to the president, Mr. President, we got to think about the friendship, if you want to call it that, the partnership between Russia and China and Iran and the Gulf states, and the potential for the United States of America to be essentially shut out and for them to control the world in 25 years, maybe even sooner, because of their energy dominance. You see, the thing about Russia, China, Dubai, Iran, they don't give a damn about climate change. Dubai, to give them credit, they did host a climate change kook fest that they had last year. While they're winking and nodding at everybody about how important climate change is, they're building new islands to drill off of their country. Literally. Like, they're like, oh, hey, babe, all those napkins are recycled and the straws are all paper. While they're don't pay no attention to the sound of the drilling as we drill, baby, drill. So I think these smart people have said to the president, the United States of America has to think about expansion for the purposes of oil and natural gas. And we have to build more nuclear, too. But we have to think strategically about the resources Canada has. And we have to think about Greenland from the perspective of security for the northern hemisphere of the world. But the Arctic, and I could spend a lot of time on this, and people who are much more educated on the issue have come on the show and explained all this. But, you know, you've got a massive issue with the most northern part of the planet and the Arctic, and then the control of that, which could be a future war. It really could, with Russia trying to encroach on it, and then Russia and China have an alliance. So I think the president and Doug Burgum, and I think the energy secretary, I think they're all thinking about the next 100, 150 years. And because the crazy people, because China, Russia, and the Gulf states are never going to worry about climate change. And by the way, nor should they, because the whole thing is a scam. It's a scam. But unlike in this country where people fall for the scams, in those countries, tyrants control everything and all they want to do is make money. So when the president said last night that the European nations have given more money to Vladimir Putin than they have to Ukraine, he's not wrong. It's $1 trillion. In 2024 alone, the European countries gave Vladimir Putin $1 trillion by buying his energy and his natural gas. So then they go, here, Ukraine, here, take this $20. Good luck. Godspeed. And then they give Putin $1 trillion. And you wonder why Putin's winning this war. You wonder why there has to be peace. You wonder why we need to bring this thing to an end. You wonder why Putin's not running out of money. That's why he's not running out of money. Because the very same countries that are supposedly aligned with Ukraine just put $1 trillion in the guy's pocket in 2024 alone. To quote Dr. Victoria Coates, Russia is a gas station with nuclear weapons. So we have to think long term and think strategically about this. And because the Democrats have caused so much damage with everything that they've done, with all their energy nonsense, with their Green New scams, we have to undo that. And I'm sorry if that offends you. If you're somebody who really thinks climate change is real and you're terrified of this and you dutifully recycle, that's a scam, too. You know, they're burning most of that stuff, right? That's all a scam. There's no market to buy recycled goods. Nobody's buying recyclables anymore. So it's going on barges, and then it's going to places like India, and then they're burning it. Sorry to break it to you, but that whole thing's a scam. But anyway, we have under our feet liquid gold, and that's another way that we're going to make America prosperous. That's the bottom line. You bring down energy costs, and then everybody else in the economy benefits. And that's what the president was saying last night by unleashing American energy, which I'll share that clip with you upon my return. Don't go anywhere. We got such a big show for you. Weigh in, YouTube chat, on X, or call the show 855-839-1210. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, the president last night said that he got this terrorist, you know, this Abbey Gate terrorist, and that's fantastic. That's really great news. Today, the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, came out and said he is now officially on U.S. soil. He's now officially on U.S. soil. He has been brought back and he will face justice. Democrats didn't clap for that either. We got the mastermind terrorist behind the Abbey Gate massacre, and Democrats didn't even clap for that. They didn't clap for the capture of a terrorist. That's how crazy these people are. So we'll get into all that. And just a programming note, my buddy, our buddy Daniel Turner is going to join us at 4 o'clock. So, and we'll have Congressman Dan Muser on the show today at 4:45. So today's going to be a little bit of a fluid show, not as fluid as some of the members of Congress on the Democrat side. But I tell you, there were so many moments of that speech I really loved. I really did. I love the end. I love the end when he talked about the American spirit and the American optimism. And I know that some people might dismiss that as just, you know, it's just rhetoric or something. But I'm sentimental about that stuff. I like to hear that stuff. I really do. I like to hear that stuff. It's good. You know what I don't like to hear? Disgusting talk by people like Nicole Wallace. So the moment last night where DJ Daniel, this young man, 13 years old, battling cancer, this kid, I mean, brought tears. My wife was bawling over this last night, and it brought tears to my eyes. The kid seems so incredibly grateful. He has been made, you know the story by now, an honorary officer over 900 times. And during the speech last night, the president made his dream come true, swearing him in as a Secret Service agent. That was an incredible moment last night at the speech. And just to show you how twisted and sick the left has become, and I mean that really honestly, and if you're listening to me right now and you're a Democrat and you think that maybe my rhetoric's a little harsh, okay, fair enough. But how do you answer to what Nicole Wallace of MSNBC had to say? Cut 31.
But I think this was a lesson in finding one thing that you let yourself feel. And I let myself feel joy about DJ. And I hope he's alive for another, 95 years, yeah. Right? And I hope he lives the life he wants to live. He wants to be a cop. He knows what he wants to do. And maybe when you have childhood cancer, that crystallizes for you. And I hope he has a long life as a law enforcement officer. But I hope he never has to defend the United States Capitol against Donald Trump supporters. And if he does, I hope he isn't one of the six who loses his life to suicide. And I hope he isn't one who has to testify against the people who carried out acts of seditious conspiracy and then live to see Donald Trump pardon those people.
You're sick, lady. Get some friggin' help. Like, seriously. See, I'm trying to help here. I'm trying to help. It's Ash Wednesday. It's Lent. In the Lenten spirit, I want to help. You need therapy. You really do. Like, you need therapy. Your hatred of Trump, and Nicole Wallace used to be a fake Republican, but your hatred of him, or I don't know if you're just trying to impress your bosses at NBC. I don't know, but it's not healthy to go through life with that kind of bitterness and animus where you can't even let yourself feel joy over the fact that a little boy, 13 years old, my son's 10, this kid's 3 years older than my son. This for however much time this kid has on this earth, he will never forget that moment last night. But you can't even allow yourself just to keep your sick political bias. You can't even allow yourself that you need help. And there's lots of ways to get it in this day and age. There's apps. You know what I mean? You can go to like support groups. There's TDS support groups now. Trump derangement syndrome pills, I think. Injections. Maybe try ketamine. That's all the rage now. A little ketamine might boost you up, boost your spirits. Or just get freaking drunk. You know what I mean? Like, just get drunk and flash or something. You know what I mean? Like, live life like it's Fat Tuesday. Do something. But this is not a healthy way to live. To take that moment, that little kid's life, that moment that he will forever, ever remember for as long as God gives him his time on this earth, and to twist it into a sick, barbaric January 6th thing. And, you know, I mean, I could turn around and say, I hope he doesn't become a cop and get killed by an illegal immigrant who wasn't deported by a sanctuary city mayor. I could say, you know, I hope he doesn't grow up to become a cop who's beaten by a bunch of, you know, thugs who are looting a city because you have lawless Democrat mayors. I mean, I could play that game. Or... since I'm not a crazy person, I could just enjoy that moment for that kid and his dad. His dad, who probably at some point is going to have to deal with the horrific loss of losing his son. The worst pain a parent can ever go through. And you can't just your hatred of Trump. I mean, seriously, this is sick stuff here. It's like your hatred of Trump is so bad. It's so real. And your desire to find just negativity. You can't even just, even if you just left that moment alone, like even if you just didn't talk about it, that would have been better than the way you just handled that, Nicole Wallace, by hoping that he's not one of the six cops who kills themselves. First of all, that's a lie. But anyway, January 6th, we can play this game all day. I hope he's not a cop who's shot in the line of duty by some lawless criminal who, you know, the mayor of Boston then goes out and apologizes or says she's sorry for the loss of life of that criminal who, you know, shot a police officer. But I'm just going to enjoy this, the beautiful moment that it was for that 13-year-old young man. And the fact that is it theater? Yes, it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong for the president to highlight an American child who believes that his dream of serving his country as a law enforcement officer. There's nothing wrong with the president pointing that out, recognizing this young man and making him the star of the show. In fact, tell you what, sometimes I wish we could have more of that stuff. I really do. We're going to take a quick break. J.D. Vance is apparently going to speak at the border. We might bring some of that audio to you live as well. But we've got a big show. Daniel Turner's going to join us. We're going to talk about energy. And does President Trump want Canada because of energy? Is that what this is all about? We'll do that. More reaction from the insane left last night. Just sick. I mean, vile, sick, mentally ill people. They really are. Get some help. You people need help. All right. This is me trying to be a loving, kind person telling you, like, you're freaking nuts. All right. Go into a padded cell with a marker. That's where you people need to be. You're so freaking nuts. All right, big 4 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead. We're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. 1210 WPHG is our YouTube page. We're coming right back.